Have said to me the theme for tonight is just what the doctor ordered. The first thing I sort of thought about is Jesus, the great physician. So the question I'd ask yourselves is, was Jesus the first physician? Any takers? Well, it's sort of a difficult question to answer, because the answer can be both yes and no. So why do I say this? Well, if we look at Mark verse 2 verse 17, it says this: it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. So here, Jesus himself makes a reference to doctors. So it would indicate that there was indeed doctors in Jesus' time. But then the next question I would pose to yourselves is, but where did these doctors get their knowledge? Well, of course, they received their knowledge from God. So God was the first doctor, but then where does Jesus fit into the big picture? Well, Jesus is the greatest physician of all times, as Jesus did not just heal physically, but he also healed spiritually. The physical side of healing is the side that we as humans understand the best, as it's something we can see. You know, as the old saying goes, seeing is believing. There are several examples within the Bible talking about the physical healing. If we think about the narrative of the woman that had bleeding, she had said that she had seen many doctors and spent all she had, but still was not cured. If we consider that one of the Gospels himself was a physician in the form of Luke, how miraculous these healings that Jesus undertook must not have seemed. We can only imagine the thoughts that must have gone through people's minds as they witnessed these healings. How is it possible, Jesus, this man that has is neither a physician nor a magician, could heal people in the way he's healing? And the best part about Jesus' healing was he was not selective. He didn't heal one here or one somewhere else. He healed everybody that came to him. And I want us to remember that sentence. Jesus healed all that came to him. What an extraordinary individual that must have made Jesus. The question still remains, but how does Jesus heal? The answer is, of course, through divine power. The healing of Jesus went beyond what us as humans understand, as the healing touched every element of our existence. It touched our physical, our emotional, our social, and our spiritual. But why does it touch so many levels? The answer can be found in Mark 1 verse 40 to 42. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can clean me." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I'm willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Now, leprosy in those days was sort of not a favorable disease. It was frowned upon, if anything. I guess it's sort of the same stigma we associate with AIDS perhaps today. Yet through Jesus' actions, he touched every element of our existence. Jesus healed the leper physically, something we understand and something we can see. The man was an outcast of society. We can only imagine his emotional state at that point. He reached out and touched the man without any fear. The man had the belief that he could approach Jesus and the faith that Jesus could heal him. So Jesus broke down walls of alienation and centuries of prejudge. By this simple, powerful gesture, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. But with divine healing, of course, there has to be an element of faith. And this is the part where we sometimes fall down. Throughout the Bible, there are many examples where Jesus praises people's faith. For example, we use the woman with the bleeding. In Mark 5 verse 34, it says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed of your suffering." So Jesus heals through faith, not as a sign to prove himself. And I mean, we can see this throughout Jesus' life, where he didn't do any miracles or any healing in his own hometown. Why? And he did not do any miracles there because of their lack of faith. That is why I feel us as humans fall down when it comes to divine healing. Jesus is not currently here with us on earth, that he can just place upon his hands upon us and heal us. So we have to, through faith, in this modern time, experience healing. So does divine healing still take place? The answer is yes. But I believe it is not through our will, but through God's will that divine healing takes place. And this is the part we as Christians struggle sometimes with. And we can see this in four simple words that is indicated in the Lord's Prayer, which is of course Matthew 6 verse 19 to 13, "Your will be done," as we tend to put our own personal needs above the Lord's. If I can take my own life as a personal example in this, my grandfather is currently not doing too well, and I don't think he's got many days left in his life. Now, deep down, there's a part within me that wants to say, "Lord, heal him, you know, make him the strong man that he was." But then the other part of me says, but I can't sort of say that, because I have been blessed with my grandfather in my life. He turned 95 in May when we were now in South Africa. So I've made peace with the fact, and praying is, "Lord, let your will be done." So when we ask for Jesus for physical healing, we must ask in accordance with God's will and not our human will. Here, we might always not like the answer we receive, but it is still a question we need to ask. This brings me to the spiritual healing. What is the greatest illness of all illnesses? Just as Dave said there, sin. And the worst part about sin is that even the smallest amount of sin is fatal. This is a disease that can only be cured by one physician, the greatest physician of them all, Jesus Christ. So is there hope for us? Yes, there is. But we have to bear in mind that this is not a one-sided relationship. Can you still remember the statement I asked you to remember earlier?
Just what the doctor ordered.
not Mark. But Jesus healed all that came to him. So we as sinners need to take that first step. We sometimes have the misconception that we must be great sinners to receive the great Savior as Jesus, or we have to be totally lost. None of these misconceptions are indeed true. The simple fact is that even the smallest amount of sin within our lives have consequences. The sin renders us helpless and hopeless and completely dependent on Jesus, as if we were totally filled with sin. In order to fully appreciate a physician and the benefits of his skills, we must have faith in him. We also have to follow his directions and or instructions that are provided by the physician to heal our illness. I mean, if we go to a doctor and he provides us with medication, and we follow the instructions of the medications, as we believe it will cure us from our illness. Thus, in the same way, we must be willing to follow every instruction that is given to us by our great physician, Jesus Christ. We should not be like the Pharisees when Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say?" That would be like calling a doctor and not taking his advice at all. Jesus heals our sinful souls, but only through us taking the first step. By listening to his word and listening to his words and instructions and believing, this leads us to divine healing that we get through Jesus Christ. It is a faith that saves, because it leads us to God who saves. Faith is needed for the outcome in accordance to God's will. Like all things in life, everything starts with a small step. The first step of any addict's recovery is identifying there is a problem. This is the same with sin. We must make the first step to invite Jesus into our lives to do this. As in Matthew 11 verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Believing in Jesus is one thing, but coming to Him is quite another thing. That said, only through believing in Jesus can He truly become in our lives. As Julie preached last Sunday night, we have to have obedience of faith. Our repentance, faith, obedience, and inviting Jesus into our lives is the start of the healing process, the healing of our sinful lives. We have to live in Jesus every day of our lives, not just the one-off situations, as we are human and we tend to do that. So then, what is the remedy for sin? It is the physician's own blood, the only thing in the universe that can wash away and heal disease. As John 1 verse 7 says, "And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sins." I guess in the end, it all leads back to the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3 verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God prepared His own Son's body as a sacrifice, so that through His blood we could be healed and saved as sinners. If I can use the example of the Israelites again in the desert, that they were instructed to look upon the brazen serpent and believing that they would be healed and saved. There was no real power in the looking. The power laid in the believing, the following of instructions as provided by God. It was important to bring them to obedience and faith. After all is said about being saved by faith, it is simply true that Jesus saves us through His blood and heals our sinful nature. As the hymn says, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all your guilty stains." Jesus is thus the great physician, the healer of our sinful nature. So, let us listen to His invite and invite Him into our lives. Place ourselves under His continuous care. Follow His instructions, as these simple steps shall ensure we enjoy a healed and healthy life in Jesus Christ. Amen.